You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Whoa, a haircut.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You look good.
He cut his hair. He's got a pompadour. He's wearing a sweatshirt that I am guessing has not been broken out in quite some time. And he's coming in furious. I see it on him. He's been boiling about what Dominique Foxworth did since the middle of last week. He's been boiling. Has anyone heard from him? Because I have not heard from him. I've just assumed that he has got his barrels loaded, ready to take out Dominique Foxworth today, who on Twitter, Greg Cody called him angry, which I think...
And bitter.
Angry.
Don't call Dominique Foxworth angry.
Oh, that's not good, man.
Dangerous game.
I care about you.
Well, this is where we are. This is... Greg Cody is legitimately mad at Dominique Foxworth, I think. I don't know. Greg, I'm speaking for you here.
Yes,
I've
you
just
are.
Known you for many years. So if I'm speaking out of tune or if I'm saying anything wrong, please correct me.
Well, Dominique is Dominique. You know, this is what he does. And to this day, the funny thing is, I have no idea what the beef is. Like, I have nothing against Dominique. You know, a lot of people refer to him as Dominique Fox Worthless.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't.
On. Dominique Fox Worthless.
Yeah,
no one refers to him
no
as that.
One,
that's well,
nobody.
People do. Right. People do.
Nobody does.
Yeah, do they? People do, but I never have.
Okay.
I respect my fellow man. Evidently, he doesn't.
Right.
And
right.
I have no idea why.
Right.
But, you know, he gave a big speech against me.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I get it all the time. You know, I get it from Bill Corbin. He's always, you know, against me. Because I supported a Marlins stadium 10 years ago. And I'm like, you know, Billy Corbin has, you know, small man's syndrome. And
if I'm out of breath, he just came up the steps. He's plugging things in. We've disoriented him because this was hello. I wanted to get him in his natural habitat so that everyone can see him just walking in for the day. And so, of course, he's winded because he just came up the steps and he's still plugging things in.
He doesn't know where he is.
He's disoriented. Night's Miller Night lights are kicking in. The pills are disorienting him.
I wish people could see what I'm dealing with here. I'm trying to plug something
an
in.
An outlet is what you're dealing with.
You're dealing
with an outlet that has four places where you could plug something in.
I can't even see the outlet, so I'm feeling my way in the dark, trying to criticize Billy Corbin. That guy's got to get over it. I mean, 10 years later, he's still complaining how I supported the Marlins Stadium. You know, get a life, and then Foxworth.
Small man syndrome, right?
Fox Worthless, or you won't call him Fox Worthless. You won't do that.
Oh, no, I don't do that. People do. You see it all over the internet. Dominique Fox Worthless. I would never do that, because he's a man. He's a fellow man like myself.
But that's what the people are saying.
That's what some people say.
Right, many are.
You know, I mean, if he had better knees, he might have had an NFL career. I know he played, what, 4 or 5 years?
I mean, he made a lot of money.
He did make a lot of money.
He got out just in time.
He made
the same number of Pro Bowl teams as me and your neighbor's dog. But, you know, he had a decent little career. And he's done well at ESPN now. I think he's one of only 458 NFL experts on their panel. So he's done really well. It's a great job for him. I appreciate that he thinks the world of Christopher, because so do I. And by the way, I want to say something. I don't know what the final results of that poll
were. You haven't said anything yet?
Well, you're retaliating for sound the audience. Some of the audience may have heard, but you're retaliating detail by detail and note by note. We will get the sound of what Dominique, because some people might not have context as to why you're this kind of angry.
Now yeah, I didn't hear it either. Well, nor do I want to.
I don't believe that you have not heard it.
I have not heard it.
So how did it get back? How did it get back to you?
Well, I saw the poll, which was...
So you're offended? This is all from him saying that Chris Cody is by far the better Cody?
No. I agree with that. I agree with that. I do not contest the result of that poll. I agree with it. I'm lucky I got 10% or whatever I ended up with. Christopher is by far the most talented Cody. My younger son may be more talented than me as well, although I'm angry at him right now, so I don't want to get into that.
Oh boy.
My granddaughter, here's the funny part. I criticized the poll by saying, because the poll was vaguely worded, it said, is the younger Cody more talented? And the younger Cody is Michael, who's younger than Christopher, yeah, and then details Grayson, my granddaughter.
Details the audience doesn't care about. Again, you're doing this thing where everything you say is interesting.
And then some Rhodes scholar on Twitter says, Greg, I think they meant Chris. Oh, really? Is that right?
Okay,
oh,
you're going to argue individually. You're going to argue one by one with people who said things against you 3 days ago?
Yeah, and then another guy.
Scholar, damn
it. Of nothing on Twitter.
Wait, Greg,
we are not going to do
he's
you.
He's rolling, Dan. Let him go. I mean,
get out of his way. Clear
some
lane.
Person on Twitter, it wasn't apropos of nothing because it was on MLK Day. He says something like, some guy who does not know me and has never met me says, on MLK Day, Greg Cody will probably complain that Muhammad Ali was too outspoken. What the hell does that mean? Why are you even bringing up Muhammad Ali? But I'm the biggest Muhammad Ali fan ever.
Right.
I'm older than
you. Right.
I was there. Nobody is a bigger admirer of Muhammad Ali. And so for some stranger I don't know who's never met me to say that on Twitter was really offensive to me. Because somebody, he probably has a good 12 or 15 followers.
Oh, for the love of God.
They're reading that tweet thinking that he may be right about me.
He is hot right now. He is going line by line on avatars he is fighting with.
What a morning. Jesus Christ.
Jessica is sitting there with her mouth hanging open. She cannot believe Greg Cody is attacking Twitter people one by one.
Jess.
An itemization of his hatred, and he gave us his Ali bona fides there. He has a Rosa Parks signed NAACP card.
I mean, Dan, you can feel the heat in this room. Like, Greg came in this morning and
it's because you're not plugged in.
You're not plugged in, of course. Hold on, Jess.
The only thing you didn't plug in was your
I'm a little behind here.
No, but he needed to get all that out. That's been simmering and boiling for 3 days. He was going to get that guy for having between 13 and 15 followers.
I assume he does. He may have
whether
less.
He can hear you or not.
I don't know.
Plug anything in, but he was going to get that off as good morning. I'm going to get that guy, and I'm going to tell everybody he's got between 13 and 15 followers. Can you now hear Jess?
Hi, Greg.
Say it again.
Oh, for the love of God.
Why would you ask him? He literally did nothing to fix it.
I was looking at him.
Jessica, don't talk to him. Talk to me, talk to the audience, and if there's anything doing with him, I'll go to him.
We also changed the lighting in that studio a little bit.
Jessica is glowing today because of her off-the-cliff tweet was so generously received.
His headsets are
fantastic.
His headsets are
what a great tweet.
It's like the most low fidelity part of this job.
He's hopped up on pills. There's something happening with his medication right now.
His sweater is so faded that I cannot tell what color it is.
It's from 1981. The last time he pulled it out was in 81. He was 30 years old.
I wore it at the wedding I was at, which served a pig. They attempted to have a pig roast. That was a nightmare. But and I found out it's got slight grease stains on it, so I apologize.
We've got maximum Cody today. We've got.
You wore that sweater to a wedding? Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Well, it was a sweatshirt, not a sweater.
That's your wedding sweater?
Yeah, I mean, it was up in Amelia Island near Jacksonville. Very, very cold up there.
That looks like something Belichick would go jogging in.
I'm in good company then. Thank you.
Can you tell us why you're mad at Michael?
Ah...
I don't think that
he doesn't want to go there.
Suddenly it closes down. Suddenly it closes down.
You going to tell us?
He did. He did.
He made the shack.
Well, you didn't ask about the pig that he brought up. You didn't ask about any of the followers.
It's a fair question.
We're going to get to all of that.
And he was looking for Christopher, who's not here today.
Oh, Christopher's not here today?
No.
No wonder.
He just looked around the room and didn't realize that his son is here.
Well, the room is, there's people back there in the corner. Right. I thought Christopher, this makes perfect sense.
It's my Greg Cody fever dream.
This is crazy. I text Christopher this morning. I say, I just sent you my show topics for 1/19/22.
Right.
Cricket's back. I should have known that he wasn't working today.
You never send those.
I send them to whoever I send them. Just made a good question, and I'm going to throw my other son under the bus. Okay. I was furious at him a couple of hours ago. I've sort of gotten over it. Okay. My wife and I have dinner reservations tonight. So she was going to drive to work with Michael so that I could pick her up from work and we would have one car on the way home. Simple, right?
Sounds nice.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful restaurant, too. We're meeting another couple. Wonderful thing. Fantastic.
What's the occasion? Just
nothing.
I love you.
Yeah.
Right.
So Michael agrees to do this. And then texts us both at like 4 a.m. saying, hey, my girlfriend is having a rough night. I'm going to spend the night there. Mom can just Uber. And my wife does not Uber, particularly in the morning when it's dark out. She doesn't want to take an Uber, and I don't blame her. So we were furious at Michael. That's all. It's just one more thing.
Right.
But all's well now. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a great mood.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah. Yep. I'm in a fantastic mood.
You seem
mood.
Very happy, yeah.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to get it off your chest, you know? You say it out loud, get it out of your head, you start feeling better. Write it down on a card, maybe put it back in the drawer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't write it in the card, but I say it. Right. Mm-hmm. I got to get it off my chest. Yeah.
That's Billy, by the way.
I know that.
Hey,
I
Billy. How's it going?
Thank you, Billy. The Masked Man.
Mm-hmm. Got his hair, but with that sweater, he somehow looks more like Max Mom.
You look younger.
You do.
I can't possibly look older. That's the only reason I look younger. My wife says that, too. She was encouraging me to get my beard shaved and to get a haircut, so it's fantastic. I still go to Supercuts, you know, for $14.95
right.
plus tip. It's a beautiful thing.
So $15?
Yeah, they do your sideburn. They do my eyebrows, which is great because I have thick eyebrows. So it's great. I'm in a good mood. What do you guys got going on? Anything? Anything new? I don't want to take over the show.
My life seems boring compared to yours.
You know, I have my own Greg Cody Show podcast. I don't want to come on somebody else's show and take it over.
Who's on this week, by the way?
You know, it's an interesting show because we don't have a guest per se. It's Christopher and I and Michael, back when I still loved him. And Alex Benson of the Shut the Funk Up podcast. The four of us talk about the greatest sitcom characters ever. Now, I know that's not reinventing the wheel. That's like, you know, classic podcast fare. But it was a great conversation. I won the debate, hands down. And it's a fun listen. Yeah, go listen to it.
How'd you get to that topic? Was it on the heels of Bob Saget? How'd you stumble?
I don't think it was. I think it was... Christopher had been on a bachelor party in the Keys, Upper Keys recently, and I think it came up then, and he just sort of took that idea for our podcast, mainly because we didn't have a better idea. So that's what we talked about, but it was great. Nice convo.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/DLB.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
I got somebody here making fun of me. How old do you have to be to reference Shecky Green? Man, I went comedically there with the funny name of a comedian. Mm-hmm. That's on you for not knowing who Shecky Green is.
Oh, you
got
to know who Shecky Green is.
No, you don't have to know who Shecky Green is.
But your ally.
I don't like my allies.
King of the Borscht Belt.
Stugatz.
I have the soul of a Borscht Belt comedian. I should be in the Catskills in 1945. Opening for Shecky Green. That's who I was destined to be.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Do you have a Back in My Day today?
No. Here's the thing about Back in My Day.
Didn't you hear everything he's been going through?
It's on my show notes, but of course nobody was there to receive them.
We don't know where you emailed them. You say you emailed them to your son, but again, he's not working.
Yeah, they went to the ether. Today.
It's low-key been months since we've had a Back in My Day. Months.
Yeah, I know. But this is what infuriates
him. Did you hear how busy the man is?
Let's finally just play for him. Let's play for him the sound of Dominique Foxworth, because Greg Cody wonders why Dominique Foxworth hates him. Right. And it's this. It's the entitlement of I deserve to ramble for 12 minutes and it'll always be great because I'm me and you guys love me. And it doesn't matter how bad I am. The worse I am, the better it is for everybody.
I'm looking at your topics and there's a big one on here buried way deep in your topics.
Really? What is it, Billy?
Well, you sent them. You don't know what your topics are?
Now, how did you receive my topics? I sent them to Christopher thinking right. He was working today.
How did you receive the topics? We haven't received his topics in years.
There's an announcement on his topics. Is this refreshing your memory?
Go ahead. Favor me.
You want me to make
do
the
you
announcement?
Do you not remember
you
what's
your own announcement?
You got on your topics an announcement. Remember the announcement?
Yeah, I had a personal aside that I didn't think was suitable for air.
No, that's not it.
Mm. Greg, on your topic sheet, how many items? Can you count the number of items on that sheet?
I think he's looking at an old topic sheet.
I don't think so, but I'll start giving you the top topics and see if this jogs any of your memory.
In the meantime, what's your aside?
I want to talk about what the University of Miami basketball team did yesterday. But
I don't,
what is
I don't want to talk about anything or anyone other than Greg right now.
Exactly.
What a game for the Canes.
Right.
Larrañaga back from the dead. Am I right? I mean, that guy. How are they not ranked?
It's a good question.
You know, they should be ranked, I would say.
What was the aside?
Is this
I don't
aside?
Remember.
What was
I honestly
the,
don't.
What was the announcement?
I don't know. Billy said it.
It says, Back in My Day announces... You want me to continue reading?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and read it because it's like a news blurb.
Right.
Okay, it says, Back in My Day announces immediate retirement. But it could be back like when boxers retires. So watch out for a possible comeback.
Right. See, had you read the show notes, you wouldn't have had to embarrass me by personally asking me if I had a Back in My Day.
You retired
known.
It, right.
Would have been known.
I didn't know it was retired. Right.
You retired the benchmark you're known for.
It's been announced.
Look, well, on a show sheet he sent to his son who's not working, but, that he doesn't understand.
I still don't know how Billy got that. Well, that's fantastic. Yeah.
Guys, I would just say, think of this announced retirement like when a boxer retires.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I could
it
be.
It might be back.
Right.
Right.
I'm like the old, you know, most boxers who retire are a little younger than me, not that much younger.
But
they come back.
This
and I
is
might.
What Dominique Foxworth, he thinks that you are the face of privileged mediocrity. And he hammered you. I can't believe you haven't heard this. You're still, what did you come in here so bothered about if you're alleging that you haven't heard this sound? Because this is the sound I thought bothered you.
It was Michael.
It was just that? It was younger Cody? It was
part of that.
And you don't know the half of how bad this got, because Foxworth really ripped you.
Well, and that would be him. You know, that's why some people call him what they call him, Dominique Foxworthless, right. Which I never would, because I respect my fellow man.
Greg wouldn't. But
you know, you're going to get down into the gutter like that and personally criticize somebody. And I will say, you're not off the hook either, Le Batard, because I thought that poll was very tone-deaf and mean-spirited, and here's why. That was a poll that was specifically and intentionally designed to embarrass someone or to hurt someone. The hurt party just happened to be me. Luckily, I have alligator skin. I can take it. Thank God Christopher wasn't on the wrong side of that.
Quite right. Literally.
Well, I think Dan knew that.
Fun.
You can make shoes
That's
out of
good. Bread. I do have leathery skin.
you're mad at Dan that deal, actually.
You can make
dividing a family.
His last the boat shoes that he's worn for 15 straight years, deck shoes, whether it's doing lawn work or jogging around the neighborhood, he's worn them every day for 15 years, and they were like $9.99 deck shoes. Mm. That is his skin tone and the feel of his skin, but you hurt your feet with those shoes the other day, did you not? Because this was a calamity on your 41st anniversary. Those deck shoes hurt your feet.
I had a one of the inside grommets became shredded a little bit and cut. Obviously, you don't wear socks with deck shoes, so the inside grommet, which was sharp, gave me quite the cut. On my,
are you okay?
At my left ankle, right. Outer left ankle. Yeah, I'm okay now, Billy. Thank you.
I heal
quickly.
Let's play this sound then. We'll see how quickly he heals from this. I can't believe you haven't heard this. So here's Dominique Foxworth on with us last week explaining his hatred for Greg Cody.
The younger Cody, more talented Cody now, by far.
Oh my God.
That's going to hurt, man.
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show, please. Is the younger Cody already the more talented Cody by
Absolutely.
Far?
I love this poll.
Do you listen to the show? Like, Greg gets a whole day. And all he does is misplay his own hits throughout the course of an entire day.
At least
and then
I
somehow
have hits,
you guys
unlike
make
Dominique.
Entertainment around the fact that he's bad. You laugh at him being terrible. And by like somehow we're like, oh, this was a good day because he could somehow dribble the ball off his foot and you guys scoop it up and make it an alley oop and dunk it. He's like, hey guys, see what I just did there? It's outrageous. Whereas on the other hand, Chris is in the back producing, doing all his production stuff, slides a line in here or there. Bang, bang, boom. Efficiency. You hit him with the corner three, playing defense, setting picks, boxing out. And Greg Cody comes out of the locker room after smoking a cigarette and takes off his warm-up, has on the wrong shorts, got on the away shorts instead of the home shorts, dribbles the ball off of his foot several times in the course of the game. You guys turn it into points, and then he's like, follow me, listen to my podcast. I don't cut my toenails. Ain't I special? Stop it.
Okay, that's all he's got. I mean, seriously, I don't want to get into a back and forth with Dominique. I am curious how this beef started, because I honestly, unless he attacks me and I defend myself, I have nothing against
it's him. He loves the show and he thinks that you come in here and you take from the show and you're entitled and you expect things.
Okay, God knows I don't take a paycheck from the show. I mean, I don't know what else I'm taking, but it ain't
fight
money.
Back.
I tell you that. Boy, do I miss those little Disney checks.
Taking a beating, that's for
they
sure.
They literally
right?
had Mickey Mouse, a logo in the upper left corner of the check. It was fantastic.
Well, do you want to put out?
I am taking a beating. Billy had that right. What I take from this show is a beating and disrespect.
Hold on. You didn't have direct deposit. You still like got sent the hard copy check.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Greg loves a physical check.
Yeah, I love a physical check.
You walk to the bank and you just hand it to them. Like, I'd like to deposit.
Yeah. Quick story. I save them up. I'm not destitute, so I save up 7 or 8 checks at a time before I go into the bank.
Oh, that feels great.
Put it on the poll, please. Do you love a physical check?
I do. And the teller is very impressed with my, a little bit too nosy, but very impressed by the fact I'm cashing a Disney check. And so she asked me what I'm due for a living and blah, 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 and she was very impressed, and she brings over the bank manager. I thought this was an invasion of privacy a little bit.
Right.
I'm trying to cash a check, It shouldn't matter what. I mean, I was proud to at the time to work for ESPN.
What was your answer?
Yeah, what do you do?
Two years ago, I used to work for Disney. Please deposit this check.
Yeah, exactly. But I miss those checks. Anyway, I miss any check. Right. Kidding me?
Well, if you're going to throw our literal business out there, let's have it out in public. Mike is feuding with the company over his shit.
I read that. Good tweet.
And
I side with Mike.
You have your beef with Meadowlark Media, and I told you what was going to happen, and it was exactly what did end up happening. We continue to promote a podcast for you that is very popular at the Herald. It is popular in part because we do that for you. It's all you've asked for. In exchange, we've asked the economy that has gone around one of their most popular podcasts to pay you something, and they say, nope, we want 100% of the money, not to be shared with Greg Cody. So if you're going to get that thing to be bigger and bigger, and it's in its own economy now, we want to cut for you. Sure. And the answer from your employer, formerly my employer, is not 1 cent.
Right.
Not one physical check, not 1 cent.
All of it is true.
So now what? We've tried to work this out in a million different ways, and you're still complaining about not getting paid.
That's just for fun. You know, you set me up by saying you take and take from the show. What am I going to say that isn't? Except I don't take a paycheck, I'll tell you that.
It's a good joke.
It was a great joke by you.
So you set me up.
So you don't really care about the paycheck.
Well, not really, no. I mean, as long as you know, you graciously allow me every once in a while to just sneak in a reference to the Greg Cody Show podcast, which I'm very proud of. You can get it anywhere. Apple, wherever the hell you do your podcasts. Podding, whatever you call it. So you allow that, and I appreciate that, you know. People
but that's what
out.
You ask what he's
podcast.
Mad about. You ask what he's mad about, and I'm telling you what he's mad about. It's not me that's mad about it. I'm not. You're my lifelong friend.
Right. Although you don't always act like it.
I would do anything for right. you and your family. Yeah. Like, you know this. This is not up for dispute.
Sure.
And you're asking me why he's mad. I'm explaining it to you and the audience.
Okay, and it's fair.
He is coming and looking at you and thinking that you come from a great deal of privilege.
I don't come from privilege. I was poor growing up. I don't know what Dominique talks about when he says I come from privilege.
1440.
1440. I'm walking around barefoot on a pebble rock driveway. You know, I wasn't in a big boss line doing a dance.
You tell him.
I'm growing up.
Is that a Bruce Springsteen lyric?
I have no idea. If it isn't,
what was it? I was barefoot on a pebble rock highway? What?
No, pebble rock driveway. We couldn't afford to have our driveway paved.
Wait a minute.
Let me dust off my boss.
Go ahead. Let's see what he's got here.
I was barefoot on a pebble rock highway.
Why was he barefoot? There was no motorcycle. Why was the highway made of pebble rock?
I was barefoot on a pebble rock driveway.
Yo, that's a hit.
That's a hit. That's fantastic. He does a better Bruce than Bruce.
I was frying turkey.
barefoot on a pebble rock highway. We couldn't even afford a turkey back then. That was only after I grew up and made
money.
Oh, this
is good shit. I'm so writing.
It is good. Yeah. Record that so you don't lose the melody. No, I grew up poor, so... And I mean poor. You know, my mom and I would walk to Quick Check to turn in empty bottles for the deposit money to buy a loaf of bread, and that's no lie.
Dominique Foxworth.
Or whatever his name is. The lesser Dominique. When the lesser Dominique accuses me
human
of
being human highlight reel.
The word privilege.
He was shouting it at you from the other rooms. Did you fall asleep?
Very loud.
Yeah. Talk about a great Dominique.
We got two of them in here. Greg is talking very loud. I am now doing the show with the theater seating of the Muppets with the two guys.
Wait, I can't hear you.
Statler and Waldorf.
I don't mean to be shouting. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
But don't call me anything you want. Just
Mike,
don't
what
call
were you
me
trying
privilege.
To tell Stugatz? Stugatz is now unplugged. What were you trying to tell Stugatz?
Why is everybody unplugged right now?
MTV Unplugged.
Give me a break, Dan. I was born barefoot on a cobble driveway.
Yeah, he doesn't remember the line. Doesn't remember
it. I'm not plugged in. I can't hear you. What?
It's so good.
I was born barefoot on a cobblestone. It doesn't work the same
pebblestone.
Way.
Pebblestone.
Yeah. I can't hear.
Pebblestone.
He's not talking about your privilege or what you came from. He's talking about your privileged position now, where you can come into the show, have a valued presence here, be beloved by the audience, and desecrated by not doing the one thing like back in my day that you're supposed to do that is now retired.
Yeah, I think beloved by the audience is into some question given the poll result, but I'll take you at your word.
Not as beloved as your son.
Okay.
Or not as competent as your son. I think that you wouldn't even dispute that.
I am not protesting the poll results. I claim no voter fraud.
Mike, tell
me. Were you rooting for yourself, though?
Mike, it's going to be the three of us one day, okay? So, just tell the audience what you just had to come into the studio and plug in Stugatz's microphone now.
I just had to plug in his headphones into a jack.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, a 2-year-old could do it.
Well, they should be plugged in when we get here.
But a radio veteran of 25 plus years who has been recording in that studio for close to a decade could not plug his headphones into a jack.
To Greg's point.
I wish you'd play back what he made the line. Cobble blah, blah, blah.
I couldn't hear him then. I mean,
Greg, in Greg's defense, he's not a radio engineer. You know, he just comes, Billy. He sits down, and he has to go.
Billy's always got it right on the nail, man. Mm-hmm. Just like my father, a carpenter. Child. Right on the nail.
Your father was a carpenter?
Yes.
Wow.
Was he?
Jesus.
You serious?
He was a master carpenter. He built all the furniture in our house. He worked with his hands. That's why I'm pretty good with wood, to be honest with you.
Really?
That's pretty good.
Put it on.
I used to whittle as a kid.
Are you good with wood?
Put it on a t-shirt, Angel. Put it. I was pretty good with wood. And just Greg Cody's face.
Hell yeah.
How do you become a master carpenter?
My father was a master carpenter. Worked with his hands. I'm good with wood. I would love for Bruce Springsteen to make occasional appearances in our college basketball talk here, just singing about Cody's life. Bruce Springsteen singing things
25
about
25 points at halftime is the largest deficit the Tar Heels ever faced. In their program's history.
I'm saying I want to talk with
Hubert with Davis is on an apparent hot seat. Jim Larranaga.
Not what I was asking for.
He's got Wong and Moore, and that white guy, they're stroking from three. And John Ruiz is giving everybody an IELTS. You gotta talk to compliance. If you don't talk to compliance, it's gonna fail. But Mark Emmert is toothless.
Bruce Springsteen giving sports commentary. It's a totally different thing.
You better talk to compliance.
Music.
You better talk to compliance before it falls.
Oh, my God. So Tim Reynolds wrote that in the last 10 years, Miami's the only team to have multiple 25-point-plus victories over North Carolina. Miami beats Duke at Duke earlier this season. Last night, FSU beats Duke at FSU in overtime. Stugatz came in here today complaining still 20 years in about the Seminoles storming the court.
I mean, act like you've been there, and the Seminoles have been there. I'm not certain the Seminoles don't have a better basketball program than Duke does right now. I'm serious. Some big deal. You beat Duke at home. Congratulations. You've done it before. I mean,
it's still Duke, though. You don't have to joy police that one.
To your point, though, Stugatz, over the last 4 years, FSU, I think, is this year notwithstanding, because Duke was ranked as high as number two, they've been the better program.
Leonard Hamilton has built a consistent Sweet 16 team program. Sometimes they lose a little earlier than that, but they get that far. They just haven't won. They haven't gotten to a Final Four. And so,
yeah, the pandemic probably played a large hand in that. They had a really good team that year.
I'm sorry. I sound like an old man. I know it. But storming the court used to mean something. It used to. Well, it was reserved for Appalachian State beating Michigan in a big football game or something.
Florida State was a 5-point dog in the game. At home.
Yeah, you can't be doing that.
You can't do that.
I guess beating Duke still matters. Of course, Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Who was that?
You've never heard that old Jim Rome clip?
No.
I don't even know. He would always play that clip. Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
But you, this is why I worry about you accruing power, because Mike Ryan has become a legitimate Golden Cane power broker. He's at a skybox at the game. He's talking to people who are making deals, legal deals all around the sport. But Mike Ryan, emotional booster. I don't know if Mike's even realized this when he gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror. You're emotional booster now. An emotional booster fired Larrañaga about 2 months ago on this program. You were done with about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I've since offered several public apologies, but thank you for the opportunity to give it once again. Yeah, I was pushing Jim Larrañaga out the door. I thought this program was headed in the wrong direction. It kind of was, but I didn't offer him the benefit of the doubt when it came to how the Adidas scandal totally nuked the basketball program. In particular, there were a lot of big-time commitments that had committed to Miami that went away. Scholarships went away. Miami suffered on the court, and it looked like he lost touch with the game.
Larrañaga was very close to wherever Hamilton was at the same time. Leonard Hamilton was the University of Miami coach, helped build the golden years of the program. Really, the program hasn't been very much. Best it was under Leonard Hamilton until Larrañaga gets here and builds the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they won an ACC basketball championship, regular season and postseason. They had some electric teams over there. I still remember, like, Shane Larkin. Larkin's alley-oop off the glass against Duke, and Wade and LeBron were at the games. But Larrañaga, the last few years, have been lean years for the basketball program, and Miami knows it's got to get that program back on track. And a lot of fans, including myself, were like, is Larrañaga the guy to do this? Hand up to God, I am so sorry, Jim Larrañaga, because you absolutely still have it. This team is exciting. This team has gotten better. Look, even this season, they didn't look very good. When I was throwing off those takes, it was hard to disagree with them when you're eking one out against FAU and you're tight with Canisius. But he has turned it around in a big way, and they're going to be a tournament team.
To be fair, though, the first 10 games of a college basketball schedule hasn't mattered in a long time. No. I understand playing those cruddy teams before conference play, you should win them by 30 and 40 points, and they did have a couple of scares, but you were done with everything, all of the things that have been ruined around the program, where every one of the programs is a shell of what it used to be.
Right.
Miami used to be the standard in baseball and in football, and never was the standard in basketball, but Larrañaga had built something that felt sustainable as a, you know, regular tournament team.
My whole thing was just clean house. Clean out the football program, clean out the AD, clean out the baseball program, just reset. And obviously that was wrong. That was truly wrong, because Larrañaga deserves the benefit of the doubt.
But at the time, I understand. Like, they lost to UCF. They had a very close win over North Texas.
Box scores, too.
They lost to Dayton. Like, they lost. But now they've beaten Syracuse. They've beaten Carolina. They've beaten Duke. Like, those are three powerhouses in college basketball. And I'm surprised they're not ranked, to be honest with you.
Miami's a legitimate shot at regular season ACC champion this year.
They absolutely should be ranked, at least.
They will be. They will be.
Yeah, I thought they should have been... after they beat Duke, but then the problem is right immediately after that, they lose to their nemesis, FSU. I think they've lost 9 of the last 10 to FSU. If they can figure out how to beat Leonard Hamilton, they're on like a 12-game winning streak.
FSU has been one of the top 15 programs for the last 10 years. FSU's been really good since Leonard Hamilton was there. He built that here. He had it there here, and then he built it at FSU. I wanted to talk to Roy, though, because you guys were talking when I came in about what it is. You rarely see this in a press conference. I guess it was Zach Werenski of the Blue Jackets was giving a press conference, and he was talking about the most embarrassing loss of his career. And what he said was, and he looked super dejected, when the crowd is chanting, "We want 10, he's lost 9-2. When the crowd is chanting, "We want 10, he says, "Yeah, that represents the most embarrassing game of my career."
Well, the Panthers fans have done this twice so far within a 2-week span. They did it against Dallas as well. Yeah, the 9-2 is like, that doesn't necessarily happen in hockey, and they managed to achieve that. So good job out of them. And the fans are starting to build up now. The fans are starting to come out to the games. I went to the Vancouver game the day before. Like, Vancouver's a terrible team, but that place was three quarters filled. So they're starting to notice that this is actually the best team in the league. Of course, they didn't look like that last night against Calgary, but yeah, they're the best team in the league.
Well, so it's just fun. It's not just that, right? It's that it's such a rare thing. We've had it down here how many times? We had it with Marino. We had it with Wade. But when anybody can watch a game and be like, oh, I wish my offense played like that. I wish my team could score like that. I wish that it looked that way. When you're the envy of the league because you're watching something young and fast move around and it looks better than everything else you're watching, that South Florida's always supported that. It just doesn't make an appearance very often.
Right. And their home, Roy, you would know this exactly. Their home record is what, 23-3?
20-3, yes.
20-3. Astounding. By far the best home record in the league. So if the fans aren't catching on and joining the bandwagon, I don't know what they're waiting for. But then again, and Roy knows this all too well, let's see, to quote what Stugatz often says, do it in the playoffs. And that's so true with the Panthers, because we've seen this before where they've had pretty good teams, you know, best regular season, most points ever, blah, 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 and then they lose in the first round of the playoffs. So this team seems poised
We haven't
for a
seen
deep
that
run.
That much. We saw no. that against Tampa Bay, the eventual champions. You can't say we've seen it once that right. they've had this.
But Tampa's there again, and Kucherov's going to come back for the playoffs, and they're annoying, and they're scoring a lot of goals.
He's back now. He's back now.
Fair enough.
Oh, he's already back, Kucherov?
They are an impediment for everyone in the league, but that doesn't mean... I thought last year they were every bit as good as Roy thought they were, and they just lost in the playoffs because they ran into the eventual champions.
Yeah, it was a bad draw, that's for sure.
And it got better. This is the best offense in the league in the past 27 years. So they're outscoring everybody. The defense has gotten better. The only regression I see right now is Spencer Knight hasn't been as good as last season, and unfortunately Sergei Bobrovsky is coming back to form from last year. Other than that, this is the poised
for deep run. You don't trust Bobrovsky. None of you do. None of you do.
I don't know. Like I did earlier in the season. I think he'll do better later in the season in the playoffs. But lately, just hasn't been that great.
You don't trust him. I want it said out loud. I don't know is what you said. You don't trust him. Mike, you don't trust him. You think that the only thing that derails this team, outside of injury, the only other thing that
Well, the randomness of the hockey playoffs as well.
Well, but it's random if your goalie's not good enough.
Right.
It's random if it's not random if your goalie's great.
They got to go through Tampa and Vasilevskiy.
Yep.
That is a very clear goaltending advantage. We saw 88 for Tampa. How many times did you scream that to the heavens during that playoff series? They're outstanding between the pipes, and we're obviously very shaky. We have an offense that can compensate for that, but when the game gets tighter in the postseason, you're going to need your goalie to be special a couple times. You thought Spencer Knight could flash that special quality, but a bit of a sophomore slump, to Roy's point. Like, he's not as good this season as we projected him to be.
They're paying him to be, though, Bobrovsky, not Knight. They're paying Bobrovsky to be a goaltender that carries you in the playoffs. That's the contract he's got.
Yeah, but we'll worry about that in the second round, because they're going to win the first round. They just have to worry about Toronto and Tampa in the second round. So
you don't even know the matchup yet.
He's definitively saying a team is passing the first round for the first time since 1997. That's right. Cocky Panther fan. We have never seen Cocky Panther fan.
Cocky Panther fan has never existed. You are out there saying it flatly. They will make it past the first round or...
Or that's it. They're not going to play anymore.
The season's over.
So you're not willing to risk anything in your great belief that they're going to make it past the first round.
Coward.
Is there a wager that can be made? The fine bomb. Is there something that can happen here that would give you stakes? Because it's not enough to just say something boldly and then suffer the shame of it.
What? The Panthers win in the first round?
Yes.
Think of something. I'll do it.
All right.
Well, guarantee it.
Dangerous.
Okay. Look at that. That's real confidence now, though. We've got to think that one out for a second.
You
got to
think of something now.
Something good.
Touche.
Yes.
Put it back on me.
He really did, and we will.
He just made a comment. I mean.
No, he boldly said
it. Here, silver.
It's the boldest
Done.
Thing.
Yeah. Cisco. Let's go.
Cisco.
Yeah.
Yes or no, it's the boldest thing that Roy has ever said on the show.
It's the longest he's ever talked. The boldest.
Was that the boldest hot take that Roy has ever had? He is claiming that the Panthers, historically, that he has not trusted. I just had the conversation with him. You trust Bobrovsky? And he said, I don't know. Maybe in the second half. It was not trust. It was the articulation of distrust. And he just said, the best Panther team we've ever seen, he has just guaranteed us that it will make the first round. Or Cisco is what we're doing?
The thong song?
Thong song, Cisco. Not
oh,
true.
Oh, no,
Cisco.
No. I'm not singing. I'm not going to do any dancing or anything. I'll just dye my hair.
Just no, yeah.
Thong song. Unleash the Dragon, Cisco, not Drew Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
Unless you want Drew Hill, Cisco.
Greg, I want it.
But then you're going to be called Simon Phoenix.
Choose your Cisco.
We all know.
I already put mustard in my hair, so that technically counts as gold hair, doesn't it? No.
Mike, I think if the season ended today, they play the Penguins, and Roy hates the Penguins.
Oh, I'm looking so forward to that match.
The Pens, said the kid.
Greg, before we get out of here on the local hour, your thoughts on the last week of developments around the Flores-Tua relationship, about Schefter reporting and some of the reports that Brian Flores was most behind Deshaun Watson being here, and now the reports that the Dolphins are committed to Tua in 2022.
Yeah, it seems like an evolution because we thought 6 months ago that it was Stephen Ross pushing the Deshaun Watson thing, because he was just out of patience. And now we hear something different. Clearly, they're finally, for the first time in 2 years, they seem to be all in on Tua. And that could mean Brian Daboll is the next hire, the Bills offensive coordinator, because he's actually worked with Tua. He knows Tua's game better than anybody.
Well, let me ask you guys this question about Daboll, because Cody, you've been around this team for a long time.
Right.
Is it fair to hold Daboll's past against him? Like, can he learn so much in the last 10 years that Dolphin fans should be excited about the guy who's going to get credit for what, being a Josh Allen whisperer?
Right.
Or, I mean, because Josh Allen's a pretty unique talent.
Right.
I probably don't need to tell you guys, physical strength, that is a different animal than Tua.
Oh, gosh.
You're talking about Josh Allen. You are talking about someone you can make the argument is the most athletic player in the history of the position.
Right.
That's what Daboll would be getting the job based on. And I'm just asking you guys.
Well, I hate that, Dan, because I think Josh Allen made Daboll a head coaching candidate. Not the Daboll didn't make Josh Allen great. Josh Allen is great.
Somebody deserves the credit for Josh Allen.
How about Josh Allen?
I identified him as terrible. I've never seen a quarterback make the leap that he has made from totally inaccurate to, no, I want him. I want him for the next 10 years.
Right. Josh Allen's career got off to a little bit of a slow start. If you compare his numbers with Tua's for each's first 16 career starts, Tua's numbers are better. So you got to give Daboll a little bit of credit there. But
he had higher to climb, though, because Josh Allen was incompetent in college. He was not an accurate quarterback.
Right.
I didn't think that could be fixed by anybody before doing the examination, because I don't believe, are qualified to tell you, this particular group of people, to disentangle for you how much Daboll had to do with Josh Allen's success or growth as a quarterback. We would all agree, all of us, if someone has the ability to do that, yes, please make him my head coach. If you believe that there is someone who can just take the greatest athlete you've ever seen at the position, possibly. Like, really, it's Cam Newton. There are a couple guys. Athleticism, unique. Mm-hmm. Arm strength, people bouncing off of him when he runs around because he's big.
It's like a small linebacker when he runs.
If you want to give him credit for that, you can give him credit for that. What I'm asking you is more broadly, the Dolphin fan base that yawns or looks at this with cynicism and says, well, 10 years ago, he wasn't special as a Browns coordinator. He got here with not much help, and he wasn't special here. We complain. He's one of those names, right?
Yeah.
That we complain. Dolphin fan base, every football fan base has this, losing one. Oh, this coordinator. Daboll's one of the names in the list. He's not with Olivadotti, but he's there. I heard an awful lot of complaints about Dom Capers, all these guys. So 10 years later, because Capers has run through here again, Chan Gailey has run through here again, where you see multiple failures, what I'm asking you, Dolphin fan bases should be excited about Daboll. Should I evolve my position? Because maybe in 10 years he has gotten a lot better. Maybe Daboll in 10 years has learned everything that you need to learn, and he can make Tua something more special than he is.
I will say this. 10 years ago, he was here one season only in 2011. I think it's a misconception to say he failed. I don't think he failed. I remember that team. And
they were below average in offense.
I remember that team, and I've looked up the stats. He took over a team that was ranked 31st in points scored, which is next to last in the league. And his season, they ranked, I think, 19th, which is a little below average, but you go from
the dregs of the league to mediocrity in one season. So I don't think he was an abject failure. 10 years later, he has a lot more experience. He has Josh Allen on his resume. He has the background with Tua. He's not an exciting hire if they hire him. He's not an exciting hire, but I think he's a competent hire. I think he's a strategic hire. You know, if you want somebody who's going to give a great press conference, hire McDaniel, the San Francisco offensive coordinator, because he's funny behind a mic. I would love to have him, but Dable's a very strategic hire aimed specifically at raising Tua to whatever his ceiling is.
I think we can all agree that the perfect bow on this segment, we've talked about a lot of different stuff. The first 20 minutes were amazing as an unhinged, pill-popping Greg Cody just took the wheels of the program and drove it into the sky. Just really amazing. But I think the way we all agree that the way this needs to end, because some of you might say, well, it's a Springsteen impersonation, right? No. Nope. We're going to go with a different impersonation. Here's who Mike was trying to summon with the incredibly obscure Leave It to Beaver joke.
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
His former Xavier Musketeer head basketball coach Pete Gillen.
Nice.